We're going this morning to look at a decision that the Apostle Paul made in his ministry, one on which I feel like was a very wise decision, and it's one that I believe the Lord wants us to copy and follow as we approach that same decision regarding many opportunities that we have. To begin with, let me say I believe that we approach decision-making oftentimes from the viewpoint of selfishness. By that I mean that our final decision that we reach will be based on such questions as, will it please me? Or will it make me happy? Or will it bring me pleasure? And if I come up with a negative answer to those questions, I say, well then, that will influence my choice against doing that thing. It's not a question of whether or not it's right or wrong, but really it's a question of what's going to make me happy. I believe one area where we apply this same little simple selfish test is concerning the question of where will I go to church? Where will I go to church? Now, if like most questions that come up and we must decide something on, we deal the same way with this question of where will I go to church as we do other questions, we'll ask, where is the church located that will make me happy? Where is the church located that will bring me the most satisfaction and pleasure in my life? If you ever ask the question, where should I go to church, rather, where will I go to church? I want to begin by reading from the letter of Paul to Corinthians, and then I'm going to give you a little parable to illustrate what I'm talking about this morning. The scripture is 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 12. Paul is talking about the body or the church. He says, the body is one and hath many members, and all the members comprise to make up the one entire body. Yet it is still one body. So also is the body of Christ one. Verse 18, and God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. There are many members, but there's one body. Verse 25 through 27. There should be no schism in this body, no division, but the members should have care one for another. And if one member suffers, then all members should suffer with it. And if one member is honored, then all members should rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, even though you are members in particular. Now for a little parable. The other day, I stuck a splinter in my finger. Now the rest of the members on my little body knew about it. That is, let's compare now this body I'm talking about as being one little local individualized church within the entire body. And so there was a splinter stuck in the finger of this little church. Now the rest of the members of that little church knew that there was pain in this member. Talk got around town that there were some problems going on in Third Finger Church on Right Hand Street. There were some things down there that were causing pain, and it wasn't long until many of the other members outside of Third Members Finger Church knew about it. And then it looked also as if the problems were not going to go away very quickly, and the little splinter problem was not going to be solved too soon. And so some folks down in Old Big Toe Church on Right Foot Street heard about the problem in Third Finger Street. They were talking over among themselves. Here's some of the things that they said. Oh, well, old Third Finger Street never did have much success. You know, it's not a very large church. Never did grow very well. Not much going on down there. Don't have much excitement. Nothing ever happens down there in old Third Finger Street. And so one of those listening on, Big Toenail, of course, in Big Toe Church, decided to go visit one of his friends who was a member of Third Finger Church. And so he went to visit Fingernail on the hurting finger. And he said, hey, I understand you got some problems down here in old Third Finger Church. Why don't you come on down to Big Toe Church and join us? We don't have any splinters sticking in our toe. We're a lot bigger. We're a lot more successful. And you'll be in touch with everything that's exciting down there on Big Toe Street. Because you see, being on the foot, we're always on the move. We're always going places. We're going to be where the action is. Now, if old Third Finger Church didn't have enough problems as it was with the splinter, now it's informed that Important Fingernail is going to leave and go down and join Big Toe Church. Now it's got double problems. Then the next thing we hear is that some rumors on the other toe church, other foot church, begin to come and pick up some members from old crippled, hurting hand church. Well, you say, I can't blame Fingernail for leaving. Then I understand old Fingerprint, he also got up and left and went down to another church in the body. You can't really blame them. They have a right to be happy. They have a right to enjoy exciting things that are going on. And so I end my parable. You know, it's human nature to run from trouble, to run from pain, to try to escape hardship. It's human nature, if you have an option, to always chase after that which is exciting and where you'll gain the most enjoyment. That's always human nature. The first solution that I believe all of us would choose, if we have a chance, is to flee the problem, to flee the pain. And of course, in fleeing, always hunt out that place that will make us happy. Because we say, I have a right to be happy. I have a right to be excited. I have a right to be where everything's going on. Well, today the body of Christ is facing this dilemma. I often look at churches as I drive around the town in which I live, Pasadena. I've been here now 19 years, and I make some comments sometimes as I pass by churches that I have been looking at for 19 years. I say to my wife, that church there never has grown. I go by now and I say, you know, I heard that church there was having some pain. It's having some trouble. Then I hear from the neighbors around my home that they're thinking about leaving their church because that church is having some problems. I'm also hearing from this place and that source of the big, successful churches that are taking members out of the hurting, suffering churches that seem to be having the problems and are not growing, short on key, needed, talented members. Today I find that much of the church growth within the church, it's one member taking another church's members. It's the big game of the switch. I'm also afraid that I believe I'm correct here, but I'm afraid if it was left up from some preachers in every town, in every neighborhood, then the whole body would be one big foot church or one big city eye church. Everybody would be in the big head church. That we'd just totally shut down, eliminate, put out of business every part of the body, but just one part, the super-duper church. I want to reemphasize 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 18. God has set the members, every single solitary one of them, in that part of the body where it pleases him. The sad thing is he puts them there, but they won't stay there. The finger tries to get in the toe, and the toe tries to get in the hand tries to get in the arm. And the church is in today, I believe, really a problem. It's having a lot of more problems because the members are getting themselves all crossed up from what God has placed them. The Bible says clearly, you are to be placed in a church that pleases God, not in a church that pleases you. It's not up to you where you go to church. Jesus said, I place my members in the body where I want them. And the Christians, they say, oh, that's where you're wrong, Jesus. We're going to go where we want to go. And sometimes I believe you have a monstrous church. You have one piano and 500 piano players. And down the road, you got one piano and no piano players. Something's wrong today in the church. And some churches, they have so many people, no one knows nobody, nobody does anything, and yet these people have tremendous talent and gifts and are supposed to be ministering somewhere to somebody. But instead, they sit there and they just spectate and they go home. Something's wrong today. Somebody's making bad decisions based on selfishness, I believe, concerning the church. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:25, there should not be any schism in the body. Let's don't divide the body all the pieces. Let's don't ship all the hands down to the feet or all the eyes down to the hands. There is not so supposed to be a division in the body. But notice, there is to be care one for another. 12:25. Does First Foot Church really care about First Hand Church? Really now, honestly, do they really care? If old First Hand Church is having problems and they're about to fold up, I wonder how many in old First Foot Church are licking their chops. Boy, I hope I get about half of those. Instead of sending out raiding and capturing parties, why not send out emergency first aid teams to help the poor old struggling churches? Did you follow me? Instead of sending out proselyting teams, why don't we send out a rescue team? We rescue the perishing. Why don't we try to rescue the perishing churches instead of robbing them blind of all the people? You know, the question regarding selecting a church home is not, is it where I will be happy, but rather, is it where God will be happy with me? I want to repeat again, God sets the members in the body where it pleases Him, not where it pleases us. And yet most of us choose a church where it pleases us. Now, I've chosen Paul to illustrate this message that I'm preaching this morning of how you can fit into that place where God wants you to be. Now, in the 16th chapter of Book of Acts, we read beginning with verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden, now notice, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. There were some places that Paul just could not go if he wanted to be where God wanted him to be. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Pisidia, but the Spirit again suffered them not. And so they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia. Help! Do you get what I said? Help! In other words, where Paul and them were planning to go, maybe nobody was crying, help! They were just crying, hallelujah! Everything's wonderful over here! Come on, Paul, and join us! But God said, you can't go there, Paul. And finally the cry came, help! And after Paul had seen the vision, immediately, I like that, Paul said, there's a place for me. I'm going to Macedonia. Oh, but Paul, there's problems in Macedonia. There's pain in Macedonia. Nothing is organized in Macedonia. Come on over where we are. Hallelujah! It's wonderful down here. Paul said, I'm sorry. I'd love to be in hallelujah where you are, but God has said, no, I must go where the cry is, help, help. How many churches today are crying, help? What does the church do? They send out some raiding parties, not to get the dead wood, but to pick out the choice members that are still hanging in there. Oh, something's wrong today, people. And our response to the question, where will I go to church? There's some places God says, I don't want you to go. There's nothing wrong with them, but I don't want you there. There's some places that I want you to go where I want you to serve. And you're not going to serve these other places. They don't need you. They don't need you. You follow me? They don't need you. They won't even know you. Now, the call of God always, people, I believe, is a call of need. Did you follow me there? The call of God is always a call of need. God places me and you in the body where there is a need. Not where it will make me the happiest and bring me the greatest joy, but where I can satisfy the greatest need. Paul decided, and this is, I think, the wise decision that Paul made. I will never go where I am not needed. He never said, I will not go where I'm not wanted. A lot of towns didn't want him, but he said, I'll never go where I'm not needed. I'll never go and be a bump on the log and do nothing. I'll never go where I cannot minister to the body of Christ. I'll never go where I end up a nothing, among many nothing. But I'll go where I'm always sure I will be needed. Romans 15:20, Paul says this. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "For we stretch not ourselves beyond measure, as though we had reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." Then he says, "We desire to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and we do not desire to boast in another man's line of success." Paul always had the desire, "I will preach where no one has preached. I will go where the greatest need is. I will try to be what I am supposed to be to those that need me most." To put it another way, Paul said, "I could never rejoice if I was in the wrong lane." I believe there's a right lane and a wrong lane to be in. And the right lane is always that lane where there is need that you can fulfill by the gifts that God has bestowed upon you through His Holy Spirit. But people say, "Well, I just couldn't be happy where I'm only needed." Because as soon as you imply needs, you imply problems. If I have no problems, I have no need. So I don't want to go where there's problems. I don't want to stay where there's problems. Well, what if Jesus took that attitude and he just pulled up stakes and moved off to the humongous churches? What if he said, "I don't want to stay where I'm needed. Bye, folks. Come on down and join me at some other church." But Paul said, "I do not get my delight and my joy and my pleasure from the surroundings around me." Do you follow me? The psalmist said, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice." In Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 11, Paul says, "I speak unto you. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to be full, and I know how to be hungry. I know how to abound, and I also know how to suffer." When you go where there is need, there is going to be on your part sometimes a requirement to suffer. Sure, Paul would probably say, "I'd rather be somewhere else." Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Paul had a splinter in his finger. Things were not always rosy with Paul. He was not always surrounded by the hallelujahs and the excitement and the great choirs, the theatrical productions. He was not always surrounded by this, but he was always surrounded by the Lord. He said, "I rejoice in the Lord," not the crowd, not the enthusiasm, not the choir, not the talents, not the abundance of people, but "I rejoice in the Lord." That's how Paul could be enthused in prison. He wasn't surrounded there by choirs and great programs. There was no outside stimulus in prison to make Paul happy. But Paul rejoiced in the Lord. I want to say this, folks, to you. If Jesus can't make you happy in the place where you are, and your happiness is all derived by some fantastic preacher or superb choir or outstanding program, then your happiness is not coming from the Lord, but your happiness is coming from a man and a program and a choir. You could get that happiness whether you were even a Christian or not. If you can get what you feel you need and God does not supply it, but man supplies it, you're getting your needs met by man. You're not getting your needs met by God. You see, people are your inspiration, not Jesus. Excited congregations are your inspiration, not Jesus. If Jesus can enthuse you where you belong, and it takes enthused people to drum up enthusiasm in you, well, then it's not from the Lord. You're not rejoicing in the Lord. You're rejoicing in an enthusiastic crowd. I think a lot of people today are basing their church choice on, please listen now, their needs, not the needs of the body of Christ. Their need for excitement, their need for variety, their need for pleasure. And they're not concerned about the needs of the body. I believe selfish today is what most people use when they say, "Where will I go to church?" We talk about the right to be happy as Christians. Let me tell you, you have two rights to be as a Christian. Number one, you have the right to be holy. And number two, you have the right to be needed. And please listen carefully about what I'm going to say now. You are to derive all of your spiritual happiness from these two sources in Christ. One, to be holy from the service, and number two, from righteous living, and number two, the right to be needed from righteous living. You derive your happiness from service and righteous conduct. That's where your happiness lies as a Christian. And that's the only two sources I know of that really used to derive your happiness as a Christian. Number one, from being holy like Jesus, and number two, being a servant of Jesus. From those two sources, you get all of your Christian happiness. It's what enthuses Christ. It's what pleases Christ. It's what fulfills the plans of Christ that brings me joy. Now, when it comes to serving God, Paul would make his decision based on this criteria, not on the glamorous outlook, but on the obvious need. Paul did not feel free to hunt the greenest pasture, to hunt out the mountaintops, to chase after the enthused. Had Paul wanted to do this, he would have run down the corner, for that's where the action was. That seems to be where everything was happening that could happen. That was a happy hour church. Paul was not free to roam to satisfy his own desire. Paul said, I must go. I must go where I am needed. And Paul knew a secret. It was there where I will find my happiness. For there I will know that I am pleasing the Lord. You all remember the story of the demoniac that Jesus cured by running the demon out of, entered the pigs, which jumped over a cliff and went in the water. Interesting, it says, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. In other words, said, I want to go, Jesus, with you, because there's nothing going on back home. There are a bunch of pig lovers back there. I don't want to go back over there. I want to go where you go. And Jesus said, I don't need you to go where I'm going. I need you to go back home. Jesus said, return to your own house and show how great things God has done for you. And the man went away. Jesus had 12 disciples. He didn't need one more. So he said, I need you to go back home. Oh, but back home is Dolesville compared to where you're going. Jesus said, that doesn't matter. I need you back home. I need you back in Dolesville. Paul did not run around the countryside selecting from each church, Ephesus and Corinth and Philippi and Thessalonica, the cream of the crop, and making that one super-duper church for him to pastor. He didn't do that. That's what we do today in different towns. You know what Paul did? Paul worked with a team of troubleshooters. And Paul would hear about a church that had a splinter stuck in its finger, and Paul would send down some troubleshooters, not troublemakers, troubleshooters, to try to help that church come back to health and life. In Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 7, all my state shall Tychus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Now notice verse 8. Whom I have sent unto you for that purpose, that he might comfort your heart. I like that. Tychus was a man that knew he ought to go where he's needed. Today I'm afraid a lot of churches would rejoice if God put all his eggs in one basket. We just had one great big head church, nothing else. When it comes to a place of service for God, follow the example of Paul in making your decision. Go where you will be needed. If you're not going to be needed, then I'll guarantee you it's not the place God has called you to go to.